Anyway, first on today's Mole, I talked to Travin Lachon. I introduced him in the interview on what the left can do if Hillary Clinton wins. Travin Lachon, welcome to KABU.
Hey, good to be on with you.
Travin Lachon is the host of Equal Time Radio, which plays on a regular for-profit station. He's the token progressive in a sea of right-wing pundits and commentators. I'll bet you, Travin, are able to stand up to all of them and still retain the initiative in Vermont. So keep up that good work. Travin is also a labor organizer. He co-founded the Vermont Workers' Center. He's president of the Green Mountain Labor Council. He is a leader in Vermont's Green Party and was active in labor for Bernie. He's written a good deal on Bernie Sanders and the left and how to relate to Bernie Sanders. Travin, let's assume that Hillary wins. Then what can and should be done by the left in the next Clinton administration? But before that, let's talk about the political scene in general as it unfolded in the campaign, which for me was a repudiation of political elites and a powerful populist upsurge with, of course, very heavy neo-fascist sort of elements. Anyway, what do you see as the opportunities now coming out of this horrible campaign season?
Well, there are opportunities which have been created, which really haven't existed before in our political lifetimes, certainly not at least since 1968, if frankly not since 1936. I mean, I say that because, I mean, everyone knows the two major presidential candidates are widely despised, and you had Senator Bernie Sanders cohering a mass base, especially among young people. He's still very well-liked, and that showed that it's possible to connect with broad sections of the working class as well as millennials around a break from the dominant sort of neoliberal policies and the two-party system. So I think, you know, there are tremendous opportunities here that may be squandered, but they need to find an organizational expression, and that's a really task for organizers and what there is of the American left.
Right. Let's talk about that, the organizational expressions and what they could be and how they could actually be. From my point of view, the alternatives have enormous democratic implications and possibilities for cohering a really radical left. The opportunities also arises out of the instability and deep troubles of a lot of parts of American institutional life, like the energy system, like all of production. It's going to have to change. Climate change is, if you believe the climate scientists, forcing a very dramatic changes in how we produce and consume. And then the American health system, something you know about because Travin's very active in the Vermont Workers Center that championed a single-payer system that came very close in Vermont. But the health system also will have to change. It cannot go on as it has. And other systems, the finance system, eating a huge amount of corporate profits and dominating things, the tax system, and much more. There's going to be really dramatic changes, have to be. Comment on that, Travin.
Well, that's a lot there.
yeah.
But what's overwhelming importance is that there's an environmental crisis, and it's of staggering proportions. We're on a forced march towards environmental disaster. That becomes clearer and clearer every week. You've got a significant minority, particularly among young people, who get it. You know, you see that at the moment, for example, in the solidarity, the direct actions in support of the Lakota Sioux and their fight to stop the Dakota Access Pipeline. This is a struggle for sanity and really a struggle for the survival of humanity as well as other species. That will be, obviously, the growing environmental crisis, and there will be a transition away from fossil fuels at some point. The question really fundamentally is it going to be a just transition? And thus far, the neoliberal agenda of the Clinton administration quite clearly is one which will lead to environmental disaster, perhaps. You know, not as quickly as if the Trump agenda was carried out, but we will see. We're seeing the beginning of a mass movement, I think, really turned the corner on that. And yet, it's not a movement that has much of a political reflection within the two-party system. I mean, we saw that in the lack of discussion around climate in the debates. I mean, the only time it ever came up is when Bernie Sanders was asked in his debate with Hillary Clinton early on about what's the greatest threat to the United States. And he said it was climate change. And that was sort of the beginning and the end of the discussion within the two-party system.
This is Bill Resnick for the Old Mole Variety Hour. I'm talking to Travin Lachon, who's a radio personality in Vermont. He's also the president of the Green Mountain Labor Council. He was a leader in Vermont's Green Party and an activist in labor for Bernie. We talked about already the great opportunity, the inevitable changes in American life, a repudiation of American elite. Traven pointed out that both major candidates for the president are highly disliked and Clinton indeed despised by many people. Traven, you pointed out there's left impulses everywhere. There really is a left emerging in the United States in so many ways. The Bernie campaign brought out some of it. There's a lot more, even within the right, people who love Trump. Some are neo-fascists and others are just sick of the old system and have democratic impulses. Traven, you pointed out that the question is, can we institutionalize a left in the next period? And I think that is the question. Why don't we talk about some of the areas where there could be sort of areas of reform, that, like the environmental movement, where you could have powerful left currents developed and left alternatives sought by the majority of the people who affiliate with those groups? Choose one and let's talk about it. Maybe energy, maybe a healthcare system.
Well, yeah, let's look at the healthcare system, which is obviously the account. Affordable Care Act, it will implode. We see that with the rise in premiums in many states. They're simply unaffordable. It's unaffordable, the rising costs in Medicaid for state budgets, the overall cost of a wholly inadequate healthcare system in terms of actually meeting people's needs, and yet it's moving towards 20% of the economy. It's breaking the budget on state levels. So we have a healthcare crisis without a political class that's willing to entertain any kind of credible alternative. So that's why the Obama administration single payer was off the table. Even the public option, which frankly wouldn't have done much, was off the table. You know, in Vermont, we had a very powerful grassroots movement. We framed it as healthcare as a human right. That was the perspective which was projected by Sanders and received very well around the country. And we passed the law. But when it came down to actually getting a Democratic legislature and Democratic administration to pass the financing for some kind of equitable financing of a healthcare system, they were totally unable to break with the, you know, their corporate funders and the wealthy. So that means a real political crisis that's shaping up around what is a healthcare crisis, which we see that with the lack of affordable child care. We see that with the inability of the political class and the two-party system to actually meaningfully address climate change, which is why you see more and more radical grassroots movements, more and more direct action. And you also see that reflected to some degree in the rise of the Green Party as a more significant factor.
And you also see it seems to me, in the radicalization of mainstream health and, let's say, environmental organization, but you also see it in demands for a guaranteed living wage and jobs. You see it in a movement towards public banking and changing of the system. A lot of ideas are now moving towards mainstream acceptance, at least as part of the debates. It seems to me it's really heartening in some ways. Let's talk more about the health system. It's not only the matter of having a single payer. We're really talking about, in my mind, at least my hypothesis, we're talking about a very different system that operates not just to temporarily deal with diseases and spends huge amounts of money on chronic disease. We really need a system that is focused on health, which is a whole nother matter. And single payer could, in fact, it seems to me, if we have a left movement, change the system to where we're talking about health care and where patients and their families and providers work together towards better health in very democratic ways that can only be done by really listening to people, by having people participate, particularly within the system itself, instead of just patriarchal doctors know best. We're moving towards and could have a system of very democratized kinds of health provider institutions and networks. At least that's my thing. You've been on the front lines of the fight for single payer. Are those ideas, in fact, potentially viable?
I think that people are very concerned with whether or not the system is going to be transparent, whether or not it's going to be participatory. People want to have control. of their lives, and in fact, how money is spent, and who pays for it, and what's provided. People want to address the kind of powerlessness that we increasingly feel in the neoliberal environment that the United States continues on a deepening trend towards. And that's reflected both, in terms of radical left populist movements, social movements, but that's also reflected in right populism, too. And frankly, that's people are very hostile to the elites making the decisions for them. You see that flowing over into discussions about the need for people's budgets and participatory budgeting. In every realm, people want more control, and rightly so.
And in fact, in energy, it's also true where there's big utilities, investor-owned utilities, are doing everything they can to maintain control, particularly through their control of state legislatures and making it very difficult to install your own energy systems. And yet they're going to lose that struggle in the long run, perhaps, and will have to yield ultimately. I think we're looking at a system of local, relatively democratically controlled and operating energy systems across the country with a fairly modest grid instead of this humongous grid that the corporate sector wants. That's happening in Vermont as well, as my sense.
Yeah, that's happening everywhere. I mean, people are interested in energy democracy. People are not thrilled by big international electric industrial forces coming in, even if they're building some forms of renewable energy. People want to have local control. I mean, and I'll give you an example. In the city of Boulder, their Xcel Industry, they refused request by people in the city to move towards 100% renewable energy. And Boulder decided to push back. They decided to take over Xcel. They used eminent domain to condemn Xcel within the city and create a public electric company that will make the investments in renewable energy that the city's residents want to see. I mean, that's just one expression of the striving for local control and energy democracy against the big electric giants.
This is Bill Resnick for the Old Mole Variety Hour on KABU. I'm talking to Treyvon Leshan, who is a radio host in Vermont, Equal Time Radio. He's also very active in the labor movement and other struggles and the Vermont Workers Center and their fight for single payer. Treyvon, let's now talk about politics. How do we work in those movements to radicalize, to build much greater knowledge and recognition of the democratic reconstruction of our various systems like energy and healthcare and many others? What do we do in the current period? Some action at the federal level could really facilitate that kind of organizing. It's not impossible. The Bernie movement might support it in a Hillary administration. And then what's the future of left politics as you see it?
Well, I think one of the really hopeful things that we've seen over the last few years is people are drawing links that are broad. People are getting out of their silos. They're not just saying, oh, environmentalists are not just saying, well, it's the climate. And people organizing for Black Lives Matter are not just saying Black Lives Matter. There's a movement now which for one movement for people on the planet. And that sort of consciousness is growing. And when people begin to grasp the interrelationship of issues, people use the word intersectionality a lot these days, it develops implicitly an anti-capitalist consciousness. People understand that it's system change which is necessary. That, of course, needs organizational expression, and we're beginning to see that. Frankly, what's coming out of the Sanders phenomena, there's, you know, our revolution, which is problematic. I think, Bill, you and I would agree that much of their work is directed at electoral activity within the Democratic Party, but not solely within the Democratic Party. People are floundering around. They're looking for an alternative to the dominant trajectory of the two-party system. We see that with local groups, Bernie groups that have stayed independent and are organizing, relating to the social movements and participating in nonpartisan elections and in supporting candidates who are independent of the two parties. There was a flood of Bernie supporters into the Green Party, and there wasn't much of a Green Party for them to flood into. I mean, unfortunately, I think thousands and thousands of Bernie supporters jumped into the Green Party in the campaign of Jill Stein and Jean-Luc Baraka and found out that the resources weren't there to run a serious campaign, and most of them stepped back and went back primarily into social movement organizing. But those networks and those relationships are growing. And we see things like Left Elect, which is a conference which we'll see happening in early 2017. People who are interested in independent politics and a politics that's built on and relating to the social movements and drawing the links across issues and across campaigns. We see that in the radicalization of the Black Lives Matter movement, drawing profound anti-capitalist and class perspectives. So I think there's a lot to be optimistic about, but yet we see the growth of a right-wing populist movement. And that could very well take the form of something much more coherent than being led by a narcissist like Donald Trump.
Let's not end with Donald Trump.
I think that's frankly up to the left, that we have to provide a credible alternative that people can see as providing solutions to their insecurity, to the problems of inequality, to the healthcare crisis, to the environmental crisis, to their fears, to the endless wars. We will face new increasingly aggressive wars under a Hillary Clinton administration. Will we build a powerful anti-war movement, the sort of movement that we did not build during the Obama years, or will liberals say, hey, leave off, let Hillary, she have enough problems with the Republican-dominated Congress? No, we can't give her any space. We can't give that administration any space. We've got to build kind of powerful movements that we haven't seen in this country, at least since the late 1960s and early 70s.
Yeah, and in fact, we haven't even mentioned the gnawing insecurity that grips the hearts of nearly all Americans about whether they will be able to pay their mortgage and maintain their jobs. But that's for another day. So many interesting struggles. Craven Lashon, thanks so much for talking to us. It was really good. And let's continue actually dealing with these issues.
It's an important discussion that's going to need to be deepened on November 9th after the likely Clinton victory. How we're going to move forward.
Craven Lashon, thanks so much for talking to us today.
Thanks, Bill, and thanks for the listeners at KBOO.